Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christy, and I'm continuing to read MRT for Saturday, June 24th, 2023. Saturday's Midland Farmers Market closing earlier due to high temps. By Mercedes Cordero, staff writer, the high temperatures are also affecting local small businesses setting up shop Saturday at the Midland Downtown Farmers Market. The Farmers Market shared new hours for Saturday's market on its Facebook page. Temperatures are hot. Please notice market closes at 11 a.m. to beat the heat for our vendors and customers, the market said in the post. The Midland National Weather Service is calling for a high of 110 degrees on Saturday with a 20% chance of precipitation. The NWS advises that if you have to be outdoors, limit that time. Take breaks in the shade and drink water. The market will be open from 8 to 11 a.m. What's up with Midland for June 24th? By Morgan Taylor Thomas, staff writer. The Blue Door live music with Raquel Ray, Saturday, Clueless Trivia, June 29th. Bush Convention Center, Celebration of the Arts, July 21st through 23rd. Cafe at the Gardens, Market at the Gardens, July 1st. Centennial Park, Music in the Park, June 30th, July 14th. Star Spangled Salute, July 4th. The Cookie Encounter Cookie Decorating Class, Saturday. The Destination Case Harden, Saturday. Friday Night Live, The Day Trips, June 30th. Tejano Thirsty Thursday, July 6th. Friday Night Live, Croakin' Toads, July 7th. Karaoke Night, July 13th. Open Mic Night, July 20th. Friday Night Live, Rodney Dunn, and The Los Frijoles Band, July 21st, Scotty Alexander Band, July 22nd, Bring Your Own Blues Open Blues Jam, July 27th, Friday Night Live, Rita Cappuccina e Andamino, July 28th, Jake Bush, July 29th, Earth, Body, and Soul, Walk-in tarot reading every Tuesday, walk-in Reiki energy clearing every Wednesday, self live spell jar make and take event June 29th, aura photography July 1st, tea and tarot social July 7th, creating crystal grids July 13th, angel work 101 July 28th, horseshoe the outpour gathering July 8th, West Texas Blowout Part 1, July 15th, Silver Spur Trade Show, July 29th and 30th, Micro Market, Downtown Market, July 1st, Museum of the Southwest, Downtown Midland Farmers Market, every Saturday, Summer Sunday, Lawn Concert Series, Sunday, July 9th, 16th, 23rd, and 30th, Sci Friday Independence Day, June 30th. Beginner Cookie Decorating Class happening at the Cookie Encounter, Saturday, North State Highway 349. Velvet Mesquite Piercing Party, June 28th. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, Cinema Under the Stars, Top Gun, Sunday. Cinema Under the Stars, Mighty Ducks, July 9th. Latin Queens and Comedy Kings, July 14th, Jackson Brown, July 15th, ABBAFAB, July 21st, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, July 23rd, Puppy Pals Live from America's Got Talent, July 24th. To put your entertainment-focused event on the calendar, send information to Morgan Taylor Thomas at HERSTNP.com.
This is Shannon reading Navy Blue. It's chaos on the tabletop, and in the dining room, and on the menu. Remember when we used to have traditional courses? Small appetizers, ample entrees, humongous desserts? Not anymore. They started disappearing years ago as share plates piled up almost on top of one another took their place. Inexplicably, though, serving utensils also vanished. You practically have to beg for them. And forget about getting your own dessert plate. Servers plunk down everything, cake, pie, even creme brulee, in the middle of the table and hand you a spoon as if it were a 5-year-old's birthday party. No wonder customer attire is more casual than ever. If you'd like to wear your ball cap backward while you sip your 1989 Latour and eat your Mishima Reserve Wagyu, hey, you do you. And does it seem as if happy hour is starting earlier, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and bottomless mimosa brunches begin on Friday? It's not your imagination. Beer, wine, and booze are being pushed as never before in an effort to keep menu prices down. A little. What's behind all this? Restaurants need your seats in their seats, because the cost of everything, meat, produce, rent, wages, is up thanks to pandemic-induced inflation and supply disruptions. That said, this relaxed approach to dining works well with the trend toward creative, mix-and-match cooking, which has been gaining ground for years. Our 2023 ranked list of the best new places to eat in Texas includes 2 Mexican restaurants, an Israeli venue, a seafood spot, a Japanese Peruvian restaurant, 2 primarily Southern dining establishments, 1 with strong African influences, a steakhouse, a place that's mostly French, though it does have a burger and cheesecake, and 1 that's kinda sorta French. Cross-cultural cooking used to be dismissed as confusion cuisine. Now, it's business as usual. Here are the rules. All 2 of them. For the 22nd edition of Where to Eat Now. To be eligible, a restaurant 1 must have opened between December 1st, 2021 and December 1st, 2022, and 2 must be the first location in Texas. Preference is given to homegrown venues. If a restaurant flew in under the radar, I'll acknowledge it next year. Now get out there and eat. We want these spots to be alive and kicking for years to come.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Texas Monthly for June 2023. This is Food and Drink, Dining Guide, edited by Patricia Sharp and Courtney Bond. Where to Eat Now. Here's our take on the state's new restaurants, along with a few updates to longtime favorites. Blush San Antonio, new brunch with Instagram-ready decor and a good deal of panache. This attractive Southtown spot aims high for the brunch crowd. Our chicken and croffle, part croissant, part waffle, featured a crispy fried thigh and a spicy sofrito crema. All we needed to complete that wake-up call was an order of crunchy bacon on the side. Rounding out the menu are a few less brunchy items, an excellent burger with white cheddar, for example, baked goods and fancy cocktails. Owners Efren Moreno and Tanya Benavides incorporate culinary influences from Guatemala, Mexico, and Puerto Rico, reflecting their backgrounds and those of their chefs. 713 South Alamo, 210-202-0804. Breakfast and lunch 7 days a week. Austin Ember Kitchen, new Latin American, a second act for the former Boiler 9 site in the old Seaholm power plant. This grand restaurant advertises live fire cooking with Latin flair, powered by its much-touted Josper, a charcoal-fueled grill-oven combo, and its Puerto Rican chef, Maria Mercedes Grubb. After sampling corn tortillas served with both whipped tallow and butter, we moved on to Sal Picon de Pulpa, a delightful octopus salad with avocado, tomato, and charred salsa, and shrimp scampi, the orange-hued critters in a buttery sauce infused with morita chilies and slivers of garlic, scallops arriving with crunchy roasted corn and creamy smoked corn mousse were divine, and we had no qualms about the slices of tender filet mignon amped by a birria sauce, although we found the pick-your-own steak knife option a little gimmicky. 800 West Cesar Chavez, 512-200-2250, dinner Tuesday through Saturday. Ling Wu, new Chinese. Ling Ki Wu's 4th Austin restaurant after Lin Asian Bar, Ki, and Ling Kitchen is a welcome addition to the growing Southwest Parkway corridor. Dumplings were instant favorites. Both the chef's famous soup variety, tender and bursting with soul-warming broth, and the crispy pan-served versions filled with basil-scented chicken. On the side, a shredded cabbage salad with chunks of cucumber and candied pecans once was sweet and refreshing. We loved the fried shrimp tossed with Szechuan peppercorns, but another entree stole the show, Akashi beef sautéed in brown honey sauce with sweet bitter orange peel, 7415 Southwest Parkway, 512-892-8878, lunch Monday through Friday, dinner 7 days, breakfast Saturday and Sunday. Luminaire, new, modern American. Visitors to Austin often work up an appetite touring the Texas Capitol building. They're in luck. 3 blocks south is a sleek new Hyatt-centric hotel with an attractive modern indoor-outdoor restaurant named Luminaire. At the helm are San Antonio chef Steve McHugh of Cured Fame and on-site executive chef Greg Driver. At lunch, diners can choose among charcuterie sandwiches and entrees such as crisp cooked shrimp with a medley of stewed tomatoes and chipotle adobo with tasso ham. Whipped hominy, think fluffy mashed grits, comes alongside. In the evening, they might start with tomato tartare, smoke, and actually beef tasting, and their choice of assorted small chops, $8 each. Our beef chop was big but terribly fatty. The lamb chop, tender and satisfying. The best thing we sampled was harissa seasoned baby carrots. 721 Congress Avenue, 737-257-3211. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 7 days a week. Ramen del Barrio, new Asian fusion, tucked into the food court of North Austin's Hanna World Market, is a tiny informal counter serving up a fusion of Mexican and Japanese foods. The regular menu is short, although there are usually specials. One that we particularly wanted to try, Barrio Ramen, was sold out, but the Tsukamen dipping ramen was next level. The noodles, perfect for dunking into a silken mole, chicken carrage, fried nuggets came alongside a special taco taco. El Pastor Spanish octopus in a corn tortilla was a knockout. 1700 FM 734, lunch and dinner, Wednesday through Sunday. College Station, Marfa, Texas Kitchen, new American. College Station has never seen anything like this homage to the Chihuahuan desert town that gives the restaurant its name. The culture of the artsy West Texas enclave is likewise reflected in the limited but creative menu. Chicken fried steak may be a dime a dozen around here, but this one sported a crisp pistachio-based crust topped with a jalapeno gravy. It was divine. The burger was likewise excellent, featuring not only a bison patty but a generous helping of juicy crawfish, though it likely wouldn't best your grandmother's. The rich chocolate sheet cake, nevertheless, proved to be the perfect way to end a satisfying Texan meal. 1551 Greens Prairie Road, 979-703-1721. Lunch and dinner Tuesday through Sunday.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Saturday, June 24th. Norris will appeal dismissal of lawsuit. The story was written by Kim Smith. Odessa attorney Gavin Norris's lawsuit against the city of Odessa over its violation of the Texas Open Meetings Act last December has been dismissed. Norris says he intends to appeal. On December 13th, the Odessa City Council fired City Manager Michael Marrero and City Attorney Natasha Brooks without explanation and without allowing members of the public to comment on the matter prior to the 5-2 vote. Norris filed his lawsuit against the city on December 22nd, and on January 9th, the City Council voted to fire the pair again, but this time after allowing citizens to voice their opinions. Jeff Whitfield, an attorney hired to represent the city, asked Ector County District Court Judge John Schrode to dismiss the lawsuit, arguing it was a moot issue given the January 9th meeting, and Schrode agreed. The judge declined to rule as to whether the city violated the Meetings Act December 13th because he wasn't there, but said they clearly complied with the law on January 9th. The judge also told Norris he didn't have the authority to order the city how to proceed in the future. It would be akin to a judge telling a criminal not to commit crimes in the future because everyone is required to follow the law. He further declined to award Norris attorney's fees. Following the hearing, and after Schrode left the bench, the judge's bailiff, Joe Alvarado, brought city attorney Dan Jones back into the courtroom after several people, including former city councilwoman Mary Wills, accused him of illegally recording the proceedings. After conferring with Jones, Whitfield assured the bailiff and the official court reporter, Breck Record, Jones did not record the proceedings. Norris says he intends to subpoena the courtroom's video surveillance, and if it's clear Jones did record the proceedings, he will ask Schrode to impose sanctions. Quote, "As an attorney, he knows better than to record in a courtroom, plus it's clearly posted on the courtroom door," Norris said. Jones was sanctioned by now-retired Ector County Judge James Rush in late 2021 while representing the city in a vehicle crash-related lawsuit as a senior assistant city attorney. Rush found Jones had filed a frivolous motion, signed pleadings that were groundless and brought in bad faith, and contained unsupportable factual and legal allegations. The judge opined that Jones filed a motion, quote, "for the purpose of harassment and interposed for the improper purpose of causing needless increase in the cost of litigation," end quote. The judge ordered the city to pay the plaintiff's attorney $5,000, and Jones was ordered to pay $2,050. Fulfilling work. Love of community drives firefighters. The story was written by Kim Smith. Within the fire service, firefighters talk about white and black clouds. The reporter who visited Odessa Fire Rescue's Central Station Wednesday morning was a white cloud because it was a relatively quiet 4 hours. They had two calls from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., and both were canceled while en route with lights flashing and sirens blaring. Bobby White said he's been a black cloud his entire 25-year career with OFR. That means, as he's risen through the ranks of the department, he spent a lot of time running from call to call. White comes from a family filled with firefighters. His mom, Sally, retired from OFR in 2001 as a fire marshal. One of his brothers, Joey, recently retired as an OFR assistant chief, and his other brother, Andy, is a firefighter in San Angelo. He's also got cousins and uncles in the fire service. For the last 7 years, White has been a battalion chief. OFR's 180 or so firefighters are divided between three shifts, A, B, and C, that work 48 hours on, 96 hours off at nine stations. The two battalion chiefs assigned to each shift split up the stations and spend their days not only doing administrative work, but responding to mostly priority one calls, those calls that could be life-threatening, fires, bad car wrecks, accidents involving hazardous materials, etc. White, who heads up the B shift, starts every morning with a 7:30 Zoom meeting with all of his captains. Quote, "We cover the calendar for the day and schedule. We look at what's in service, what's out of service, what needs to go to the shop, what's coming back. We're trying to manage all of those different units to keep something in service," White said. An hour later, there's an administrators' meeting with all of the folks who are higher in rank, he said. Every year, OFR responds to roughly 22,000 EMS, fire, rescue, and hazmat calls over 903 square miles. While the city of Odessa is only 52 square miles, OFR responds to calls within unincorporated Ector County as well, the vast majority of them within West Odessa. Stations 4, 7, 6, and Central are the busiest of the nine stations, White said. The number of calls or runs per day varies, he said. Quote, it could be 5, could be 15, depending on the weather and the people and the full moon and whatever voodoo people are spreading through the town. It's unpredictable, but it's always busy, White said. 14 years ago, White said he remembers going on 26 runs in a 24-hour period. Captain Kellen Foreman from Station 4 brought his crews to Central Wednesday for an annual equipment check by the Texas Commission on Fire Protection. A few shifts ago, the 14-year veteran said each of the two ambulance crews at Station 4 went on 15 to 18 runs, and his engine had 10 to 15 runs. Quote, we share the west side with Station 7, so the west side keeps us rather busy. It's probably the demographics around there, Foreman said. We also catch every fire that's going to be in the county, and since we're kind of centrally located in town, we're going to catch 90% of the fires in town, end quote. OFR's minimum staffing level is currently 59 firefighters, including the battalion chiefs and division captains. Every station also has slightly different equipment, White said. While every station has an ambulance and either a truck or an engine, Station 5 is set up to handle hazardous materials calls, and Central Station has water tenders for wildland fires, White said. Thanks to raises passed by the Odessa City Council last December, White said staffing levels are getting back to where they need to be, and morale has been at an all-time high. Although many of his good friends have retired in recent months, White said he's enjoying the new energy their successors have brought. Difficult, but fulfilling. The job is a fulfilling one, but it's not for everyone, White said. The perfect firefighter needs to come in with their eyes wide open and their mouths and ears closed in the beginning because there's so much to learn, he said. They also need to realize it's a cool job, but it's hard work. They don't spend their days playing ping pong and watching TV. They're always training when they're not on calls, White said. Quote, we're public servants, and you've got to be able to deal with many different personalities internally and externally, White said. You have to represent the department in an honorable fashion. You've got to be willing to come work, expect the unexpected, and become a team player, end quote. Those in the fire service also have to learn how to deal with horrific scenes and other tragedies, White said. The toughest scenes are those involving children, he said. They were tough when his kids were young, and now with two young grandchildren, they're still rough. Although the department has a peer counseling team, White said some of the best counseling happens around the station's dinner table. He tries to impress upon the younger fighters they can't fix everything, but it's their job to do what they can to help make the situation a little bit better. He preaches to them not to dwell on what they've seen. Quote, what's done is done. Try not to get that burned in their brain where they just can't get it out of their head. Some people struggle with it, but there's a lot of experience in this department. We've seen and been around, so we kind of know how to react to certain situations and how to help these guys and girls. They've got to expect the unexpected and find that internal strength that they have, end quote. Anna Gonzalez, a 21-year-old firefighter, EMT, currently assigned to Station 4, said she'll never forget her first really bad scene. A vehicle had struck and killed a pedestrian. Quote, it was just weird having to come back because it was the middle of the night. It was hard for me to process how I was supposed to go to sleep after that, Gonzalez said. I had never seen anything like that. I'm not even into gory movies, end quote. Luckily, a couple of veteran firefighters checked up on her and made sure she was handling it as well as she could, she said. Quote, "They were telling me that was one of the worst ones they had ever seen, so they made sure I knew I wasn't overreacting," Gonzalez said. "They told me if I wanted to talk, I could. They just reassured me. It was nice," end quote. Juan Morales is a firefighter EMT who joined the department a year ago and is currently stationed at Central. The 27-year-old always wanted to go into public service, but because of his current citizenship status, he couldn't join the military or the police department. He's discovered a love for the fire service. Quote, "At the end of the day, we make a positive influence on a lot of people's lives, and I think that outweighs the bad stuff we see," Morales said. "Even if it is bad, we try to make it better. We try to take away from that horrible moment," end quote. Different personalities. Perhaps that positivity is what leads to some residents calling OFR even when they might not actually need assistance. Quote, "Frequent flyers do exist, and it's not just here. People are just lonely, and they want somebody to talk to. That's their biggest motivating factor. They want to see people. If they go to the ER, they're friends with the doctors and nurses. That's their social life," White said. Newbies also need to learn how to deal with the occasional patient who verbally and sometimes physically abuse them, White said. Most of the time, they're under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Quote, "People sometimes think fire and police officers are at their complete disposal and they can say and do what they want, but we're human like anybody else. You spit on us, try to hurt us, we're going to stop it," White said. "We'll be tactful and professional about it, but they're not going to do it again," end quote. Chris Waite, a firefighter paramedic who was teamed up with Morales Wednesday, said sometimes it's easy to de-escalate the situation. Quote, "Last night we had a call. A guy passed out or asleep in the middle of the street," Waite, age 29, said. Quote, "When he woke up, he was agitated that we were there, but once we started talking to him and telling him, 'We're just here to check on you, your neighbors were obviously worried about you,' he kind of calmed down and was like, 'Okay, I understand. I appreciate y'all, but I'm fine.'" On the positive side, White said people routinely drop by the station with cookies and other goodies because they are so grateful for the work they do. Quote, "Sometimes we've made such a difference people think they owe us, which they don't, but there are a lot of good people in Odessa that come back and try to pay us in their own special way," White said. The future. White said some people have quit at the end of their first day, but there are plenty of firefighters who thrive from the get-go, like Division Captain Terry Brumbelow. At age 33, Brumbelow is getting ready to be the youngest battalion chief in OFR history. Quote, "Some guys you realize pretty quick there's someone you're going to want to watch, someone you're going to want to mentor," White said. "You start paying attention to them because they take care of business on the scene. Off duty, they're good people. They're exceptional firefighter paramedics, and they go above and beyond the norm," end quote. Young firefighters can look at Brumbelow and hope they too can climb the ladder, White said. Quote, "He's made it early. He's earned it. The guys respect him for it," White said. "It's a good thing for the department. Young blood coming in, youth growth, new energy, new vibes," end quote. Brumbelow started out as a volunteer at a small fire department south of Fort Worth and moved to Odessa for the job 14 years ago. He's since married and has kids. Quote, "That's kind of one of our hidden recruitment tools. We get them here, have them meet our wives and our girlfriends' friends, so we can keep them here if we find the right match and be a matchmaker. Make it happen," White said. Brumbelow, who admits to being an adrenaline junkie, said he He doesn't have a specific go-to story he could use as a recruitment tool. Quote, I would just go to the overall. We love doing the action stuff. We love jumping in there and getting it done right, Brumbelow said. Morales and Waite said there are a few misconceptions about their way of life. A lot of people often don't understand why fire engines and ambulances sometimes show up to medical calls, not realizing the crews can fight fires and provide medical care, Waite said. They also don't realize extra manpower is sometimes warranted. Another misconception has to do with their meals. They pay for their own. Every paycheck, B-shift crews put $50 apiece into a food fund. Typically, B-shift prepare two meals a day. Waite and Morales had to delay their breakfast Wednesday, though. They had an early morning med call, and then later, a fall victim call. After their last call was canceled, Waite and Morales headed back into the station to warm up their breakfast. It was 10:30 a.m. Quote, firefighters are known for their breakfast. Retirees come back to eat breakfast, Waite said.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.